Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Hey, I just had a pretty stimulating conversation, at least in my mind, at least with one of our listeners. And it got me thinking about a topic that I don't think I've ever covered in the podcast, but it's probably a good one for us to talk about, think about, chew on a little bit, ruminate a little bit in our own minds. And that is this question: did God choose me or did I choose God? Did God choose me or did I choose God? So that's the topic of the podcast today. And how we're going to begin this is I'm going to begin with scripture, just one verse of scripture. I'm going to talk a little bit about my own experience, because after all, that's really the question: did God choose me or did I choose God? My own experience in that. And then we'll proceed on to some other scripture and dive into this a little bit. And I think you're going to find it very interesting. I'm hoping that you'll find it helpful for your spiritual journey as you continue to grow in faith. So let's take a look at a scripture from Ephesians chapter 1. The scripture says, "He chose us in Him." Ephesians 1 verses 4 and 5. "He chose us in Him." Who's He? Who's Him? All that. It's God the Father chose us in Jesus before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will. So that verse seems very clear on the surface. He chose us in Him. God the Father chose us in Christ before the creation of the world. So if I'm applying that verse to me, it would seem very clear that God the Father chose me in Christ. Before the world even began, God chose me. So not only before I was conceived, but before the world began, God knew I was coming along and chose me in Jesus, and in love, He predestined me for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. That verse, not only seems very clear, it is very clear. And yet, as I experienced things in my life, let me just kind of share them with you, kind of out of order, but it's the order I experience them. So in January of my ninth grade year, I experienced this. I experienced choosing God, choosing Jesus. I experienced in January of my ninth grade year, experienced choosing to dedicate my life to Jesus. That is completely different than what we just read in Ephesians chapter 1. My experience in my life was I chose Jesus. I chose to follow God. And that was a very powerful moment in my life. It was the first time I remember choosing to follow Jesus. Okay, so let me share another experience in my life that I don't remember. And that is my baptism. I was baptized just after I was born, very shortly after I was born. I was baptized in a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod Church. My parents brought me to the sacrament of baptism. And so I have that in my past as well. I don't remember it at all, but that's in my past. So as I think about as I think about my salvation and where I ground my confidence in salvation, do I ground my confidence in salvation, in my salvation, in Ephesians chapter 1 type talk? Do I ground my confidence in my salvation in what happened in January of my ninth grade year? Do I ground my confidence in my salvation in what happened as my parents brought me to baptism as an infant? Where do I ground my salvation? Where do I put my hope for eternal life? Well, obviously, my hope for eternal life is placed in Jesus and His death and resurrection for me in my place. But do I ground my hope of salvation in the fact that God chose me, as Ephesians 1 says? Or do I ground my hope for salvation in the fact that I chose Jesus, as I experienced January of my ninth grade year? Well, let me share more about that January of ninth grade year experience. And you will not be surprised by this. After I chose Jesus in January of ninth grade, this will may or may not shock you, but I drifted away from faith and sinned grievously against God. And I recall other instances then in succeeding years of my life where I committed myself to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my might. I committed myself to follow Jesus. And yet I found, after each time I committed myself to follow Jesus, that I sinned against God. Sometimes little sins, sins of thought, sins of word, sins of deeds, sometimes big sins, sometimes sins I was not even aware of. And yet I know they were there because I was wrestling with sin. Believe it or not, I think if you know me, you know this, I still wrestle with sin today. I remember times in college and in seminary going to, for instance, this is just an example, going to a Keith Green concert, for instance, and by the end of the concert, convinced that I was going to hell, convinced that I had sinned so grievously against God that I was doomed. And I needed to, right then and there, go forward for prayer at the end of the concert and recommit my life to Jesus. And when I did that, then I was sure I was saved. But of course, you know the story. I would leave the concert fully committed to Jesus and find myself in the days and weeks and months that followed falling away, sinning again. Same thing, right, as falling away, going my own way, wanting my own path, wanting to do what I wanted to do. And I found myself back and forth, even to as an adult, even as, yes, I know you know me, if you know this, I'm a pastor, sinning against God, wanting to go my own way. The prodigal son in Scripture, Luke chapter 15, is my favorite scripture. It's the scripture I hope someone will remember to read at my funeral, that I was the son who left, who strayed, who went into the foreign field and found myself wishing to feed on the things that the pigs were eating and come to my senses and realize my father's house, the servants in my father's house, are eating better than I am. What am I doing here in this foreign land, having strayed so far from my father's house and getting up and returning to my father's house? But there's a key word there. I'm not returning to anyone's house. I'm not returning to that guy's house where those people eat better than me. I'm returning to my father's house. It's my father. And again, I go back to that scripture, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. He chose us in him. God chose us in Jesus before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us, here it goes, for adoption to sonship. The prodigal son in the story in Luke 15 is returning to his father's house. He's returning to to my father's house. And I would find myself returning to my father's house. I go back to that question of, do I ground my confidence in my salvation to the fact that God chose me or that I chose him? You can tell from the experiences in my own life that if I ground my hope of salvation in my choosing of God, I'm going to be in a very sorry state indeed. Because I find myself choosing him and falling away, and choosing him and falling away, and choosing him and sinning, and choosing him and running away to a far country. What a mess. What a wretched man I am if I ground my hope of salvation in my choice of God. But if I ground my hope of salvation, my certainty of salvation, in God's choice of me, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not waver. It is my Father's house. It's not just anyone's house. It's my Father's house. And when I, as a prodigal son, get up and return, I'm returning to my Father's house. And I am confident that he is going to come out running to me, put a ring on my finger and sandals on my feet, because he is my Father. And he has chosen me and adopted me. And so what my parents did for me in baptism was hugely important. Because Jesus died for the whole world, it is true. But in baptism, God places his mark upon me personally and says, you are my son, my chosen son. And I've been adopted into his family. He is now my father. That happens in baptism. Let me share some other scriptures with you. Two of them that kind of seem in contrast with one another, and yet based on my personal experience, you'll see how these scriptures go together. Jesus says in John 15 to his disciples, John 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Key line is that first line. You did not choose me, but I chose you. How do we explain, for instance, the disciple Matthew? Jesus comes by his tax collector booth and says, follow me. And Matthew gets up and follows him. Did Matthew choose Jesus or Jesus choose Matthew? There's a both and going on there. And yet Matthew's confidence finally needs to rest in the fact that Jesus said to Matthew, follow me. My confidence in my salvation needs to rest finally in the fact that Jesus chose me, and he does not change. I am very, very fickle as a sinful human being, but he does not change. My confidence rests in Jesus. Or how about this verse from Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15? I love this verse. It describes what happened to me in January of my ninth grade year and has happened many times since then. Joshua says to the people, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors and throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That's what I said in ninth grade. It's what I've said many times since then. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That confidence to choose God that Joshua has in Joshua 24, verse 15, that I've had numerous times in my life, comes from, I now know God's Spirit dwelling in me. That as God's Spirit dwells in me and works in me through the Word of God, through the sacraments of baptism and communion, he moves me to say, I will serve the Lord. And so that's where that Joshua 24 passage comes in, as I see myself. And I'm hoping that, I don't know that every Christian has had this experience, but I think many Christians have. They've had the experience where they've come to the end of themselves. They've come to the end of their rope. They've realized that they have failed their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so they recommit themselves to following after God. I hope you've had that experience. I've had it numerous times, as I've shared. And yet I hope that we don't place our trust in our eternal life in that experience of choosing God, because we are so, so fickle. Rather, we need to place our trust in our salvation, and how is it that I have this relationship with God? My trust in how that relationship exists and continues to exist is not placed in myself and in my choice of God, but rather my confidence in the fact that that relationship exists and will continue to exist is placed in Jesus. You did not choose me, Jesus said to his disciples, but I chose you. And so your confidence in the fact that you are my disciple is not based on the fact that Matthew got out from behind that tax collector booth, but on the fact that Jesus called him, chose him, and said, Matthew, follow me. That's where Matthew's confidence must be placed. Our confidence must be placed. And so as I hope that, and if you haven't, it's not a not a big deal, I suppose, but I hope you've had that experience in life of committing yourself to following after God, of coming to the end of yourself and realizing at the end of you is Jesus, and committing yourself to follow him. But don't place your confidence in your salvation in your own choice of God, even though that choice was, in my case, very, very genuine. Don't place your confidence there. And place your confidence in your relationship with God in the fact that God chose you. And in my case, chose me in the waters of baptism as a little boy. I now look at my life, the arc of my life, and say, you know, it's a great thing that Jesus died and rose again for me. It's a wonderful thing that through the simple water of baptism, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that God chose me as an infant when I was incapable of making that choice. Now I'm so grateful for that, to know that my confidence is in God, my Father, and that when I stray and return, I am going to my Father's house. I hope that you have that same confidence and encourage you to put that confidence in God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who does not waver, and who has chosen you to be his disciple, to be his son, to be his daughter. Have confidence in your salvation because of what God has done for you, not because of what you have done for him. That's what we've got for you today. We encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know some of the thoughts you're thinking, some of the things you'd like us to talk about on the next podcast coming up. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength and soar on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to the podcast today.